The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
You're listening to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. The Holy Spirit is the subject of our current series, which we're calling Spirit Works. Dr. White has a few thoughts to share as we begin this broadcast.
And here we begin a new week and close out an old month. It's our prayer that this month of July has been a blessing to you. You know, here in these summer months, it's always a challenge for ministries like ours because the expenses don't go away, and yet often because of vacations and so many things going on, the receipts do. So I wonder, just here at the end of this month, if you'd consider joining our Club 8 program. That's just a group of believers, listeners, who send us $8 a month. I'd love to help you to sign up for Club 8. You can do it at our website, randywhiteministries.org, or you can call us at 1-855-437-9448. Now, this week we're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, as we were doing last week as well, and we're going to continue where we left off last week. We were talking about how the Holy Spirit works among the lost. And what we said is that unless the Holy Spirit is working in the heart of someone who's lost, they could never be saved. This work of regeneration is a work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Spirit would use this sermon today to speak even to your life. Now, I want to speak to the saved people here in just a moment. If a lost person has an inability in spiritual matters, and a lost person can't see the gospel, and a lost person has an inability to respond to the gospel, and yet you and I as saved people are supposed to go out and evangelize, we're to make disciples, we are to witness unto all of the world, you know what that needs to be at the bottom of it all? Prayer. Prayer. Why? Because we are at the mercy of God. We need to come in, and I'm glad we got a little prayer group that meets every Sunday afternoon. When we go out, they come in, and they get down on their knees, and they begin to pray for the people we're going to go see, and they begin to pray for those who are going out to see, because there is a realization in all of that, that, as an old song said, unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, it is all vain. It's all for nothing. It's all a waste. And so we so much need to pray. I've been convicted of this lately as we look like God says to Moses, I will be gracious upon those whom I will be gracious, merciful upon those to whom I'll be merciful. And those scriptures and others that we looked at in Romans chapter 9 reminded me how much I am at the mercy of God. And if I am so at the mercy of God, you know what I need to do each and every day? Fall down on my face before him and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be gracious to me. God, let your face shine upon me and your light shine upon me. Now, I want to say one third point here, and that is this, that all of the work of the Holy Spirit cannot fail to bring new life. When the Holy Spirit comes and does his work on a lost sinner, that sinner will be saved. Here's the work. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, it's that scripture that we read just a moment ago, especially in verse 8. It talks about the threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to the world or to those who are lost. And that threefold ministry is convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Convict sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now that's the total work of the Holy Spirit as it relates to the lost. And when the Holy Spirit does that threefold work, those individuals will be saved. Now let's talk about that word in verse 8 there that says convict. He will convict the lost. I think sometimes we misinterpret that word. We sometimes use that word, when we think of that word, we think of another word that we would bring with it would be the word remorse. I mean, when you're convicted, you just feel real bad about something, don't you? And so we take that idea of remorse and then we pull that over and say, man, if you're ever going to be saved, it's because the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to press down upon you and he is going to make you feel so miserable that you don't want to live another moment. Maybe. But I think there's a better interpretation of the word convict there that might help us here. And you can see it if we were to look in John chapter 3, verse 20. John 3, verse 20, and here's what it says. For everyone who does evil hates the light, capital L, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now, in relation to the light here, that same word is given, and it is translated exposed. And so you could pull that over into John 16, verse 8, and says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, here's what he'll do. He will expose the world as it relates to sin and righteousness and judgment. He will pull that veil off and he will bring light. And so I think the best word to use is enlighten. The Holy Spirit enlightens those whom he calls. He enlightens them in three areas. First of all, the Spirit enlightens the lost about sin. If you're lost today, I would encourage you in every way to come and say, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Help me to see about sin.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the Founding Fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous Founding Fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org. Or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
I want you to see something that's important here. He convicts or enlightens the world concerning sin, not sins. Sin singular, not sins plural. I think this is the reason why here. Because if you've been called by the Father, guess what? Your sins have been borne by Christ on the cross. And so he couldn't convict you about those sins which have already been taken care of. As one that songwriter said, he got so excited about it, he said, my sin, and then in his excitement, it was like he couldn't even go on. In modern day language, he said, man, this is about to get really good. Listen up to this. He said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this wondrous thought, my sin, not the part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And the Holy Spirit comes and he enlightens you to the fact that your sins have been nailed to the cross, have been placed down into that tomb, and you'll never see them again. They have been paid for by the wrath of God has come down upon those sins. So it's a singular. He convicts the world concerning sin. Now, the problem then isn't sins, it's sin. If you're lost, there's a singular sin that's the problem, and he has it in verse 9. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. They do not believe in me. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is he comes and he reveals to you the fact that your sins, I'm talking about your drinking and your carousing and your cussing and your cheating and thieving and all that kind of stuff. You name it. Go through the commandments and list them off. Those sins have been nailed to the cross and you bear them no more. But he's convicting you about the sin of unbelief. And he is stirring in your heart for you to come and say, I believe, like doubting Thomas did. I believe. The Spirit does that convicting work maybe here even on some today. He convicts about sin. And then the scripture says that he convicts concerning righteousness, or he brings enlightenment about righteousness. Now, not about human righteousness. Otherwise, you say, man, I am convicted about the sin of unbelief, so now I believe, and so I'm going to begin to clean up my act. I'm going to begin to do everything good for the Lord and for the church and for the kingdom and for the Bible. I'm going to live by the whole thing after I read it, and I am really going to get with it here. Because I'm convicted about righteousness. But that would be misinterpreting the conviction or the enlightenment here. What happens is, concerning righteousness, he says, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. Now, I think what that says, it's a little difficult to explain or understand. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit helps us to get it. Is that here he's coming along and saying, we're not talking about your righteousness, we're talking about my righteousness. He says, I am going to the Father, and you no longer behold me. But guess what goes along with that? The Father no longer beholds you. He no longer sees you. Now, there has been one who has come in and taken your place, and now the Father sees the one who went to the Father. The Father sees Jesus the Son instead of seeing you, and when he sees Jesus the Son, he sees one who is totally pure, totally what? Righteous.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
And so he convicts concerning righteousness. Let me give a couple scriptures here. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, for if by the transgression or the sin of one, death reigned through that one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, it's talking about his righteousness replacing yours. Or we could look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31 says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us. Did you catch that? You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's a powerful verse of scripture there. It says that if you're in Christ, you don't boast in your own wisdom, you boast in the Lord. You don't boast in your own righteousness, You boast in the Lord. You don't boast in your own sanctification, your own cleansing, your own growth in the Lord. You boast in the Lord. You don't boast in your own redemption. You boast in the Lord. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, He, God, made him, Jesus. The Father made the Son. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, there's a theological term that we use here. It's called imputed righteousness. And here's the good news. To be saved, you do not need to understand imputed righteousness. You don't need to be able to comprehend all of that. What you need to be able to understand is that in Christ and Christ alone, I find my cleansing. In Christ and Christ alone, I find my holiness. How can a sinful person enter into heaven? The truth is, they cannot. But when Christ takes away that sin and in its place places within us the righteousness of Christ, and we stand then before the judgment seat of God, and he looks down upon us. You know what he says? Clean, pure, holy, perfect, come in. Because he sees the righteousness of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes someday, and he convicts us that we need to believe in him. And he convicts us then that it's his righteousness that we can boast in. And then, finally, the Spirit enlightens us about one more thing, and that is, it says, about judgment. He convicts us about judgment in verse 11 concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now, what he's talking about here is that there has been a substitute on our behalf. What do you think of when you think of judgment? I don't think of good things, do you? When I think of judgment, I think of someone saying, we have a warrant for your arrest. I think of someone saying, put your hands behind your back. Let me put the handcuffs on. When I think of judgment, I think of them carrying me into a courtroom. And I think of the cameras there and the humiliation of all that. And I think of the jury over on one side. And I think of the jury standing up then and the judge's gavel coming down. And they said, what do you find? And the juror saying, we have found the defendant guilty. That's what I think of when I think of judgment. I don't like that thought, do you? But listen, when it came to sin, we had been arrested, we had been tried, we had been found guilty, we had been condemned, and then Christ stepped in, and he said, I'll take his place in punishment, and he took all of his sin upon himself, and he nailed that sin onto the cross, and he died because the wages of sin is death, and he took those sins down into hell, and he smashed them there on the devil's doorstep, and he said, paid in full, and he rose again from the grave. And now, when it comes to judgment, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's something to be convicted about, isn't it? And to come with a great joy in. Because here he talks about the prince of the world, Satan. You know, Satan had a hold on us, but only one. The only hold Satan had on us was that punishment was coming our way. And he was going to get us into his domain. He was going to receive us into his house someday. That's the only thing the devil had, is that punishment coming our way. And he'd just look at us and say, man, you think you got away from me, but you're coming. I got your name in my book. You got a ticket headed this way. You're on your way to hell. And Satan had us around the neck, didn't he? I mean, he had us by it. And then Christ came down and stomped that old devil on the head. And now his claim on us is gone. Judgment is over. And now the scripture speaks of the coming day for the devil in Isaiah the 14th chapter when it gives a prophecy. He says, those who see you, speaking of the devil, will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness, who overthrew its cities, who did not allow its prisoners to go home? Is this the one? And then the scripture goes on to say, oh, how the mighty have fallen. That one that held such sway, that held the judgment card, has lost it all. Someone here today, and the Spirit of God, maybe he's used the circumstances of the preaching, of a witness of someone who loves you, of the music, of the congregation, of the Sunday school class. Maybe he's used the conditions of the day by the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. But I tell you, everything that's happened today is just the condition, not the cause. The cause is the Holy Spirit of God has come to you and has opened your eyes. And today you see and you rejoice that I was once a sinner, but now am saved. You rejoice that I, the old song says, there's an amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found. I was blind, but now can see.
Wow, that's my testimony, and I so hope that it is your testimony as well. Because if that is your testimony, then you'll be able to go on and say, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we've first begun. Friend, I pray that you can go back to that time in your life when the Holy Spirit so stirred in your heart that the gospel of Jesus Christ became a saving gospel for you. I'd love to hear your testimony. Maybe you just send me an email today, randy@randywhiteministries.org. And let me know how you came to know the Lord. It would be an encouragement. Maybe this ministry had something to do with it. Maybe not. I'd love to hear your testimony in Jesus Christ and your walk with him. Well, as we close out today and this sermon, we're closing out the sermon on how the Holy Spirit deals with those who are lost. For just a $2 contribution to our ministry, you can download the entire sermon uninterrupted. It's taken us 3 days to broadcast it, but you can get the entire sermon uninterrupted at our website. It's randywhiteministries.org. Or if you need it on CD, it's a $5 donation, and you can call us today at 1-855-437-9448. Of course, you may want to just get the entire series, Spirit Works. We've got 5 sermons together, and we would love to offer these 5 sermons to you on CD. We'll mail them right to your home for a $16 contribution, and there's a download available also for a $10 contribution, and maybe this would be a blessing to you. It would be to us, because when you purchase resources from a ministry like ours, you help to pay for the airtime and the internet bandwidth that's used to broadcast this very broadcast and sermon that you're listening to today. As always, we're just delighted to walk with you in the Lord and to hear from you. You know, we've got a free DVD that we want to send out. We've sent it all over the country. We'd love to send it to your house too, absolutely free of charge. All you need to do is pick up the telephone and dial toll-free 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. We'd love to hear from you and send this DVD out to you today. Until tomorrow, God bless you.
Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And this is Dr. Randy White. Welcome to a new week at friendofzion.com. I hope not only are you praying for the peace of Jerusalem, but I hope you're working and speaking and acting for the peace of Jerusalem. At Friend of Zion this summer, we're taking a special offering for Leket Israel. Leket is the Hebrew word for gleaning. Maybe there's a little extra around the corner of your fields. That is, around the corner of your bank account that you'd say, I would give that for the feeding of hungry Israelis. If you'd like to give to this Leket Israel offering, go to friendofzion.com, and there you'll see the donate button. 100% will go to Leket Israel to help feed the poor. Now, in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, there's a fabulous one verse of scripture that I think gives us an outline of the remnant of Israel. This verse says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. Such a simple little instruction that I think gives us, once again, the outline of the progress of the remnant of Israel. And here it is. Number one, the Jewish people will begin to walk in my ways and perform my service. That's one of the things that we see already happening among the Jewish people. Though they went back into the land, really as secular Jews, something strange is happening. Something not so strange if you read the pages of Scripture. And that is, Jewish people are falling in love with Judaism. Friend, even though we're Christians, this is a good thing. They're walking in my ways and performing my service. That's the first step. Now, when we continue tomorrow, we'll pick up right there and talk about what happens from here. Heavenly Father, it's encouraging for us to see a revival of Judaism. Not because we believe that there's any salvation in Judaism, but because we believe that this is the pattern that Scripture has placed, that first, your people, before they return to you and to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, first they're going to have a revival of Judaism. And so, when we see this today, we rejoice that your word is coming true. And so today, Heavenly Father, our prayer is for the peace of Jerusalem, that you would begin to do a fabulous, marvelous, even saving work among your people Israel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Dr. Randy White, and this is friendofzion.com. Why don't you go to our website and give a generous gift today to Leket Israel.